Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This gentleman here, Wilder Penfield, was an outstanding surgeon in Canada. And one day he was doing surgery on a lady. They were trying to discover what it was, you know, how a way to stop the palsy that she had. And in order for them to do that, she had to be awake. And so as they're probing the brain of this woman, she stopped. She says, I hear music. And the doctor naturally stopped and said, well, there's no music here. Went back to probing again. She said, I hear music. Well, as it turns out, when the investigator got talking about this, she was remembering and hearing a song she heard as a teenager. What goes into the brain stays in the brain. And I want you to think about that this morning. John Douglas MacArthur, when he was fired by President Truman, he had one comment that everybody remembers. Old soldiers never die, they just fade away. I want to paraphrase that. Christians don't just walk away, they slip away. They slip away. That's why in Hebrews we're told we must listen very carefully to the truth we've heard, or we may drift away from it. Drift away from it. Do you remember the account of the Trojan War, where the Greeks went down and laid siege to Troy, and for 10 years in the account, for 10 years they besieged Troy, they were unable to take that city. So according to tradition, Ulysses suggested that they build this horse, and they offered it to the people of Troy as a gift. And then they sailed away. So the people of Troy brought the gift within the walls of the city. And that night, one of the Greek prisoners he had slipped in, opened up the trap door. Out came soldiers who were concealed there. And guess what? Troy fell. This morning, I want you to think about what Trojan horse you've let into your life. And here's one that I think that we all have to worry about. It's called systematic desensitization. Systematic desensitization. Now, I'm going to skip on this here because we don't have a lot of time. But basically, what it is, it's a process that's used to get a person over their phobias. Let's say, for example, that you're afraid of snakes. Here's a process, not just scared, but it's a phobia. Here's a process that they would use. For example, the patient would look at a picture of a snake, then look at a snake in a cage, then hold a rubber snake, then be in the same room with the snake, then stand within 5 feet of the snake, then touch the snake with a 6-foot pole, and finally then, I'm going to skip on down, finally get to the point where the patient holds the snake. Did it happen in an instant? No, it's a process. It's a process of desensitizing you to that snake. A process. A slow process. The patient's not even aware of how they're drifting into this. Now, in this passage from Patriarchs and Prophets, it was the traitors within the walls that overthrew the strongholds of principle and betrayed Israel into the power of Satan. Again, we do not just walk away, we drift away. A long preparatory process unknown to the world goes on in the heart before the Christian does what? Commits open sin. Desensitization. Remember the passage, by beholding become changed? I'm going to skip ahead here. I want you to ask yourself, I want you to think about yourself as you were when you first came to Christ. Okay? Would that be 5 minutes ago or 5 days ago or 5 years ago or 50 years ago? I want you to think about that. And I want you to ask yourself, what about things that you read today? Do you read things today that you never would have read when you first came to know Christ? You find yourself picking up magazines and newspapers and books with questionable content. In fact, going to any Christian bookstore today and it's filled with what? Fiction. Fiction's what? Is it truth? No. Fiction. Ask yourself, what do you read today that you didn't read when you first came to Christ? There's so much stuff out there. So much gossip. So much garbage. And guess what? When it goes in here, it stays there. It stays. We are desensitized. Desensitized. I want you to ask yourself this question. Have you come to the point where you are accepting not only the sinner, but the sin? We shall always love the sinner. Amen? God will always love the sinner. God will always hate the sin, and we should hate the sin too. Satan has a masterful way of breaking down our defenses. These three individuals here are all very popular people. This one here, I can't remember his name. He's no longer on the program he was on. But all of these people share one thing in common. They're homosexuals. And they all have a great following. And they're all, with the exception of her, she gets a little wild sometimes, I guess. But they are all such nice people that it's so easy to accept them along with their sin. We are desensitized, to the point we're beginning to accept things that we never should accept. God loves them. I love them. I'll never love their sin. Nor will God. More and more, Hollywood is betting. Back up here. More and more, Hollywood is betting on its powers of social engineering. Hollywood, they make no bones about it. Their intent is to change our moral values. And they've done a masterful job of it. They have lowered them so badly. And we're not aware of it. We're not aware of how much we've drifted because we compare ourselves to the world. The world's dropping down, but we're up here. But we forget that God is way up here in his purity. But Hollywood does it make no bones. They want to change. Does a movie change policy, change behavior? Do movies have an influence on people? Of course they do. Who would argue otherwise? Here's a writer writing about the very fact that those movies are produced for a purpose, and that purpose is to influence you. And it's never to influence you, and usually in a pure and holy way, but to break down your sensitivity to sin. So, let's take a look. In the time since you came to Christ to today, ask yourself, do you read materials now that you never would have read before? Do you watch things on television that you never would have watched? I remember the first time that I saw a person actually killed for real on television. It was a long, long time ago. ABC report, two ABC reporters down in Honduras, I think it was, during a time of their war down there. And the camera was in the van taking pictures. The reporter got out, walked over to the soldier, National Guardsman, and you saw the ABC reporter lay down prone on the ground. And you watch then as a soldier raised his rifle, shot him right there, killed him. That shocked me, stunned me. And yet today, people will sit, and they're not, you know, when I grew up, you know, the Lone Ranger could shoot a guy and he never bled, never died. Now people are not satisfied unless they see the real thing. They want to see the heart exploding. They want to see the head blown away. Are you watching things that you wouldn't watched when you first came to Christ? Are you accepting things that you wouldn't accept when you first came to Christ? Pornography. Staggering. The last survey I saw of Christians, now Christian men, in that survey, 50% of those men surveyed said that they were addicted to pornography. I was more staggered by the fact that in that same survey, 20% of Christian women said they were addicted to pornography. Have we, through the influence of television, magazines, all of that, have we become desensitized to the point where we accept that stuff? Apparently we have. How about your devotional time? The average Christian, again, in a recent survey, said that they spend less than 3 minutes in prayer, and that includes their prayers over their meals a day. How about spiritual things? Do spiritual things no longer have the attraction they used to have? I can remember the day when you open the church doors for a revival or some kind of a crusade. The church would be filled with members. They love spiritual things. Today, many churches, they don't even try to do evangelism. They don't have any midweek service because people won't show up. How about your spiritual things? How about the Sabbath? Do you find yourself today doing things and accepting things that are done on the Sabbath that you never would accept when you first came to Christ? What about language? I will tell you, I've not always been a Christian. I was as bad as I get. And when Christ came into my heart, that rotten language went out the door. I will tell you what, I'm shocked by the language I overhear in our churches today. I expected to hear that on the street. I did not expect to hear it in the church. So I just ask you to think about it. Do you use language? Do you allow language today that you never would have allowed when you first came to Christ? It's not important for me to know that. It's important for you to know that. Today, if we're wise, we're going to let the Holy Spirit take a look inside our heart and let us know if there's areas in our life that need to be changed. Amen? Because nothing that defiles will what? Enter into the kingdom. And I want to be there, don't you? I want to walk those streets of gold. I want to praise my God. I want to be there. And I don't know if it, I'll tell you what, there's nobody who lived or lives today that I want to see miss out in the kingdom. I don't want them to bring their sin, but I don't want anybody to miss it. I can't think of a worse thing that could happen to a person than for them to miss out on that great time in heaven with our God. Now, I want to talk to you because you may be sitting there, you may be saying, you know what? That's me. I've been slipping away. I didn't realize it. But I want to stop. You know what? That's easier said than done, isn't it? I'm an alcoholic. I don't drink anymore. But that was a terrible, terrible God in my life. So I know what it is to have something that takes control of your life. So I want to talk to you about the way we deal with this. On the left here is a crow. And on the right is a canary. Follow so far? Hello? Anybody here?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Okay. Okay, so we have the crow, we have the canary up here. Now, the canary wants to sing. Is that a problem for the canary? No, no, because the canary is built to sing, as a bird sings. Now, let's talk about that crow. Now, I want to be clear on this. Somebody took me to task a couple weeks ago. They said, well, yeah, you can make the crow sing if you clip his tongue and all that stuff. All right, okay. The crow wants to sing. And this is a trick question. Can the crow sing? I'm helping you out. It's a trick question. Can the crow sing? Absolutely. But let's talk about how that works. With the canary, there's something we call intrinsic. It means that within that canary has already the ability to sing. So all the canary needs is God's blessing. Following me? Okay. All right, now, we got the crow. The crow has... Have you heard a crow sing? He's not been American Idol, right? Okay. The crow, on the other hand, needs what we call extrinsic. The crow needs a power outside of itself to make that happen. That's why I say the crow can sing, because the Creator who created us has also the power to change us. That should be an amen.
Amen.
Right. The God who created us has the power to recreate us, to change us. The crow can sing if God wants a crow to sing. The Bible says it's God's will that we should what? Live sinful lives, or live lives that represent His character. And when God gives us a command, God also enables us. You may be out there one of the crows in life, in that you find it impossible to overcome some of these things we've talked about. And I'll tell you why you're failing. You're doing the battle in your own strength, and you will always lose. You will never begin to win until you give up on yourself and turn to God and say, God, I need you to change me. I need to change the way I think. I need to change what I do. I give you total permission to make me into your image. You know what He'll do? He'll do that. He'll do that. He does it by the power of grace. You see, that's what grace is all about. Grace is a power that God brings to us. Everything that God, every power God has, He makes available to us. He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever it is that you battle today, I'm here to tell you by God's word that His grace can overcome that in your life. Just give up on yourself. Stop making promises to yourself that you can't keep. And go to God and tell Him, look it, I'm tired of making promises I can't keep. Heavenly Father, you do what I can't do. But I do surrender to you everything, and you change what needs to be changed. His grace is sufficient. Amen? His grace is sufficient. I want you to remember that. I want to try and impress that on your mind with this last song, okay? His grace is sufficient. Okay, is that it? Many times I've tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me and for you too. And His love is abundant and it's free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and it's free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. And for you. For you. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your patience with us. We thank You also that Your love will bring correction to us, and Your grace will make it possible for us to live lives that rightfully reflect Your character. I pray that none of us will leave here this morning the way we came. I pray this morning, Father, before we leave, that we will surrender anything needs to be surrendered, accept Your forgiveness and Your power to overcome. May we walk forth from here in all the power and all the love and all the grace that we need to live a life that will change the world around us. And to You we give all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath.